strap in for a very special edition of The Critical Path.
It's a special episode. This is like an after-school special.
It is.
We're going to talk about the dangers of, like...
burning beds.
No, that's not an after-school special.
It totally was.
Burning beds?
Yes.
No, that's just a Lifetime movie.
Okay, let's roll.
This is a very special episode because you get to hear from the Arcadelings.
I think they're progeny.
I don't like that.
You don't like Arcadelings?
Arcadelings.
Not cool.
Hashtag Arcadelings is going to be our jetpack.
Jared, no!
Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason and Cadence and Gowan.
Yeah!
A podcast about business development, company culture,
and now family. What?
A podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. Welcome to episode 21, where we are doing a very special episode in which we are going to consult two of our very favorite clients live on the air.
It's so live right now. It's off the hook.
So it's spring break, and our son Gowan, age 13, and our daughter Cadence, age 16, are here at the office playing VR. Both of our kids, surprisingly enough, have their own entrepreneurial ventures that they are taking on.
Who'd have guessed it?
That they normally don't want to talk to us about at all, for some reason.
They're very private.
They don't want to be consulted. No, you want to talk about your business. You just don't want to be consulted about
no,
your
I
business.
Do.
Which is, well, I mean, like, normally, prior to today. So we try to give them the space to do their own thing. But we thought it would be fun, since take yours... daughters and sons to work day is this month, we thought it would be fun to talk to Cadence and Gowan about their prospective businesses. So
neither of which are construction businesses.
It's true. So Gowan, what's your business?
So I run a business. Well, it's not really a bit, it's business.
Gowan has a YouTube channel. What's it called?
It's called Cosmo Corner. Not to be confused with the other Cosmo Corner that I found out after I named it has many more subscribers than me.
Which is related to Cosmo Ladies Magazine.
Which is a problem, but I'll sort it out.
Well, you'll just have to buy them out.
It's true.
You also have Cosmo Commissions.
We can talk about that.
We'll get to that. So Cosmo Corner is a YouTube channel where you play various video games for your subscribers to watch.
Obviously, I'm still starting out. I still haven't gotten everything worked out, and that's why I'm here.
And Cadence is working on, I'm sorry, it's Pen Chaser...
Artistry.
Pen Chaser Artistry. And what is your business?
I think it's, she's always looking for pens.
Yeah, I'm just...
No, she takes them apart.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, she. So I make art.
And you will have your first opportunity to turn it into a real business coming up this September when?
I take it to an art show. I'm very, very nervous because I have nothing prepared.
And you have all the way till September.
Yeah, like
you have
6 months.
All of summer break. Plenty of time.
I've like never done anything like this before. So like, we'll see how that goes.
No, you don't know. You'll figure something out.
It's true.
Cosmo.
And actually, it's going to be, the art show table is going to be a conglomeration between Cosmo Corner and Pen Chaser Artistry.
Sicko mode.
Because Gowan will be 3D printing models to sell at Cadence's art table. Correct?
Yes.
So, lots of business aspects to talk about here.
Toy.
Okay. So my first question is, with my YouTube channel, obviously I play various games.
Mm-hmm.
However,
obviously.
However, I've been having some trouble in that I don't know whether to unify into playing just one or two games
mm-hmm.
or diversify into playing a bunch of different games, but mm-hmm. focusing less time on each game.
All right.
What's your input?
Well, so here's my advice for you. So... as a person who is producing content, you have a particular audience of people that you're trying to reach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your audience that you reach for right now is probably going to be made up of people who are like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You watch a lot of video game YouTube channels, correct? Yes?
Yes.
Which channels do you like better? Do you like the ones better that focus on one or two games? Or do you like the ones better that play a lot of different games? What? So if you think about your top 10 favorite YouTubers, and I'm not asking you to actually list mm-hmm. them right now, but if you thought about who your top 10 favorite YouTubers are, would you say more of them are unified or more of them are diversified?
I would say mostly unified, honestly.
Okay, well, does that tell you?
Well, now we're getting to it.
Yeah, now we're getting to the core of it. So a lot of times in business, an important piece of building our marketing plan, which is really what you're doing, you're trying to decide who you want to reach. And so it's really simple to say, I want to reach people who are like me. I want to reach people who have preferences that are like my preferences. And as a young man starting your first business, that's a really good idea because you know how to speak to people who are like you because you are one, right?
You are one you.
You are one you. But I think that in businesses, thinking about who we want to reach is a really important question that really deserves thinking about. So are you looking to reach more like kids like you, or are you looking to reach a more adult audience?
Well, I think it would be weird if a bunch of middle-aged men were watching a 13-year-old boy's YouTube channel.
I mean, it happens.
I guess.
It happens. Have you ever seen, like, the full-grown dudes who do, like, toy unboxing videos?
Oh, God.
They have very, very distinct opinions about those toys. We'll come back to you. Cadence, do you have any questions about how you should structure your business?
How do I decide what content is, like, good content to put out? Because I think one of the things I'm struggling with mentally right now is that, like, when I look at my art, I see, like, this sloppy kind of piece of trash. But then, like, when other people look at it, they're like, oh, wow, it's really good. So, like, how do I decide, like, how do I change that mindset when I look at my own art that I see it as less than it is?
Well, so being self-critical.
Perfectionism there.
Yeah, being self-critical is something every artist has to deal with. But I think that the best answer for you is to create a lot of art.
Yeah.
Create 2 or 3 times as much art as you want to actually have at your booth, because it gets much easier if you just look at one piece of art and say, is it good or is it not good? That's really hard.
Yeah.
If you have 5 pieces of art and you say, which 2 are my favorites? Which 2 are the best 2?
So if you had 100 pieces of art,
yeah,
you could probably pick 2 that were your favorite.
For sure, yeah.
Right.
Whereas if you have 2 pieces of art, it's all garbage.
Yeah.
Right? If you're just looking at something in comparison to itself, it's very difficult to compare. But if you have some basis for comparison, if you have several pieces of art and you need to pick which ones go to the show, that's a lot easier to do.
Yeah, that's
so
what I'm saying.
Yeah. My advice is to not think about whether anything is good or not. Just create, create, create as hard and as fast as you can. Just keep creating without giving yourself the room or the time to think about whether those things are good enough or not. And then when you get to the end, there will be some that will rise to the top and that will be obviously your favorites and obviously better objectively than the rest.
Yeah.
To you anyway, I guess subjectively.
Yeah.
Be better to you than the rest.
Yeah.
So if you think about, you should think about the number of pieces that, how many pieces do you think you want at your booth?
Probably like 5 to 7.
5 to 7.
Like, I don't want to have like a lot. Mm-hmm.
So I would shoot to create at least 21 pieces of art.
Tight.
You have a long time to do it.
Yeah, I have a lot of time.
It's like 4 pieces of art per month.
I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Back to you. Next question.
Okay, so obviously I have my YouTube channel, which mm-hmm. is one business, but I have another known as Cosmo Commissions.
Cosmo Commissions.
Sounds ambitious.
So what does Cosmo Commissions do?
So basically, someone sends me a request at acosmocorner8@gmail.com if you want one.
Is it like the number 8 or is it spelled out?
No, it's the number 8.
We can post it in the show notes.
Yeah. So basically, someone sends me a request, say, a model from a video game character.
So what if I sent you a request and I said, I want you to make me a model of Mario?
So what?
In a Mario Kart.
Ooh.
Where's the stakes there? So what I would do is I would ask you a few questions, like
which Mario Kart? Which Mario? Which cart?
Pause. What are your questions?
So, I would ask questions like, do you want it painted or single color? How big do you want it? Are there any articulating parts you want? Like, mm-hmm. if you wanted the wheels to move or not. Because mm-hmm. while wheels moving is cool, it'll increase the price by a little bit, so it's something you have to think about.
Yeah.
Then, once you send me back your response of everything you want, mm-hmm. I'll send you back the price, mm-hmm. and if it sounds good to you, then you just say, go for it.
Yep.
Then I will model, design, and create the piece, mm-hmm. the model, the, in some cases, functioning piece of technology, mm-hmm. and I will send it to you. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is send me your address, and I can mail it to you straight through post.
Mm-hmm. So his question is, how does he let the people know he's not going to come to their address and serial killer?
No, that's not my question. My question is that I have a lot of trouble advertising, getting people to know mm-hmm. who I am, what I am. Mm-hmm. So how do I get out to people?
Well, so I think you started in a good place, which was with people that you know, the people that, so, you know, they're the people that you go to school with, but it's like the people that you work with, right? You started with selling these models to people that are around you in your everyday life. And that's often a good place to get your first client base.
Word of mouth.
Yep, word of mouth. Everybody says, oh, where did you get that really cool Hollow Knight? And then someone says, oh, Gowan made it for me. And then
I mean,
they go,
Cosmo
made it for me. And then they go, maybe I should have him make me a corgi. And there you go. If you're trying to grow this bigger and reach people on the internet, then you could absolutely make use of your YouTube channel. You could start putting ads on your YouTube videos. That would be kind of fun. We could make a Cosmo Creations video ad.
Cosmo Commissions.
I'm sorry, Cosmo Commissions video ad. But the other way is by using social media. So you would pick the social media. Maybe you'd want to do, I don't know, Instagram. Because again, you're looking to reach the 13-year-old set. So the first question would be, what do they use? Instagram? Is that? I know that a lot of you and a lot of your friends use Discord, but Discord is kind of a little more siloed.
Yeah, it's like a private.
Mm-hmm. You only reach the people that are part of your Discord server. So
because you have to actually talk to people, get their Discord number and name,
right.
Type it in, send a friend request.
Right.
So you could also have a web page as like a back end where mm-hmm. you have photos and kind of profiles of the work that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful too.
You could do something like Etsy. So Etsy is huge for stuff like that, kind of niche nerd stuff does very well on Etsy. So we could build you an Etsy site, and a certain amount of traffic might come your way just from people searching on Etsy. If someone goes to Etsy and searches Hollow Knight or Mario, then whatever you've put there would come up and they'd find you that way. But the other thing is to find a social media format that you think your market, which would be 13-year-old video game fans, are on, and then start to communicate with those people.
And start to create.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's not a proper commission, you could still model things and design and print and paint, right? And then you have product that you put out as an example.
Mm-hmm. And you could even do things like make gifts for people. So if you have favorite YouTubers who like particular video games, you could make figures from those video games and then get in touch with them and say that you made something that you'd like to send them, and you're hoping that they might feature it on their channel. But even if they don't, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And see if they'll give you like a PO box that you could send it to for them.
That'd be cool.
So those are just a few ideas. Marketing is a really tricky thing, especially today, because everything keeps changing so fast. So reaching the people that you're trying to reach can be hard to do. And a lot of times coming up with new, unusual ways to do that is a really good way to get your name out there.
So like fingerling.
Fingerling is not a thing.
Or spinster.
It's neither of those are things. And spinster is only for spiders anyway.
Is that a thing?
Your dad said spinster was his social media network he was on. And then I said, technically, you're not supposed to be on there because it's just a spider social media site.
That's pretty epic.
Gallon is over it.
Yeah.
So how about you, Pen Chaser? Next question. How about, like, how much are you going to charge for your prints?
That is something I was thinking about because, first of all, there's a lot. I'm aware of how much goes into, like, factoring out the prices of, like, everything. There's, like, not only is there how much it costs to print that sort of thing, but, like, what sizes to print and how much that costs, like, how much it costs per print. And also, like, also factors into that is, like the plastic bags you send them home in and the backings you send them home with. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then also just the amount of time you put into it. And, like, I feel like after factoring that all that in, like, it's kind of expensive for the quality of art that I feel like I'm putting out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like I'd be really uncomfortable charging anything more than, like, $10 for a piece of my artwork.
Well, so the first thing you want to do is to figure out what sizes of prints you want.
Yeah.
You want to do some research.
Yeah.
And look at a lot of different options, because sometimes you'll find there's a particular size print that's cheaper or more expensive because of the way that it is to produce. So it's good to understand what, if it's just a, if you had a graph of the cost of different sizes, is it just a straight line where the bigger it gets, the price just goes up? Or is there, are there places where it dips down and is low in comparison to other sizes?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, is just doing the legwork of figuring out what the prices look like.
Make an actual graph, that might be nice.
The way that you would price your work, so my grandmother was a consummate art show participant. She made crafts, and she sold those crafts, and she actually paid a certain amount of her bills doing that.
Tight.
So her rule of thumb, and I think it's still a good rule of thumb, is take all the costs of what it costs you to make that piece of art, add that all together, so that's your bag, your backing, your canvas, everything that you've made, and then multiply that by 3, and that's your price.
Oh, my God.
So that you make back your cost, and then twice the cost is for your labor, for your work.
Like, I'm also not going into this for the money either, like, at all.
No, but that helps you cover your, and again, so that's the other end of that. So the one end of that spectrum is cost times 3, but the other end of that spectrum is always to be aware of what your cost is, because if you sell it for less than your cost, then you just paid money to give them your artwork.
Yeah, which...
And you want to try not to do that.
Not really in, what I'm looking for.
In business, we want to try not to pay them to take our thing.
Yeah.
Good idea.
You probably know. A good idea, probably.
You gotta make profit, not lose profit.
It's true. For you, there's actually a good method you can use to figure out your material cost, because you can actually see on the printer how much filament it used, how many meters of filament that project used, and do math to figure out how much money worth of filament you used. Paint is a little harder to estimate, but you can figure that out.
Yeah.
And then labor, lots of labor.
Yeah, no, how many hours do you think you spent on the, like, for instance, the Hollow Knight, which is just one of the custom
a video game character.
Yeah.
Probably, like, maybe 10 to 12 hours total.
You spent a long time on that, yeah.
Yeah, and you have to pay attention because you have time that goes into the design of the the print.
Yeah.
And then the actual time to fabricate it, to make it happen, to babysit the printer and watch the print and adjust the temperature and get the print to
and
come out just right.
Account for prints that didn't necessarily go right either. So, like, the amount
it's
of filament used and the, like, one that messed up, right? Like,
and then all the sanding, all the painting.
Yep. All the gluing pieces together.
All the sealing gaps.
Yeah.
A lot
that
goes into it.
Yeah.
Just to say that, yeah, there's a lot.
All that's part of it. So do you have any more questions about your business? Or do you feel like we covered everything you need right now?
I guess that the only question that I really have is, like, how can you tell that a business is going well, that it's not failing? Like, how do you get started, and how do you know, like, this isn't working?
Well, I think in your scenario, it's very hard for a business that you're running right now to fail. Like, for example, your YouTube channel, the money that you're putting into that is nothing. So that's a really great place to start from, because however long it takes you, you're not doing that instead of working at a job. As a 13-year-old, you're doing that instead of watching YouTube or hanging out, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think for something like that, it's hard for it to fail. I think your business is failing if you are spending more than you're making. That's an easy answer. Right? So if you make stuff and you bring it to people and over again, they see your thing and go, that's not worth the amount of money I said I'd give you. I'm not going to give you the money. And you don't get the money. That's a sign that, again, not even that your business is failing, but that something isn't right with your pricing. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately there's a phrase that we use that says, whatever the market will bear. Do you know what that means?
Whatever, like, you can't charge $100 for, like, a pot of dirt. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's unless dirt's really scarce.
Mm-hmm. Right? If there are people who want to give you $100 for your pot of dirt, then sell it all day and all night. Mm-hmm. But probably you would find the market would not bear $100 for a pot of dirt from our backyard. Mm-hmm. Right? So as long as you are charging a price, and people want to pay that price, and that price is above what it costs you, then you're surviving. So as you grow up as a business, businesses will start to have what's called overhead. Do you know what overhead is? So overhead is all the costs of your business that don't figure into your print. So for example, if we as your parents wanted to be like real sticklers about it, we could say, well, if you're going to sell miniatures based on the 3D printer, then you need to pay us for the electricity for running the printer.
We're going to charge you $100 a month rent for the printer.
Right?
So $100 a month, whether or not you sell any prints, you have to pay that bill. Mm-hmm.
If you were using 3D design software that cost money, as opposed to Tinkercad and Fusion 360. If you were using something that costs money, then the money you paid for that software would also be part of your overhead. And if you really had a business and you were really going nuts with it, maybe you'd have three or four 3D printers running and you'd have computers. And then what if you hired somebody to come and help you watch all those printers? Mm-hmm. Then their money that you pay them would be part of your overhead. Or you could specifically have them designing and building their own models that get sold. And then that could be direct cost to each of those models, right? Mm-hmm. So do you understand the difference
Yes.
between direct cost and overhead?
So direct cost is the filament for the 3D printer, mm-hmm. and overhead cost is the money that whether or not you sell anything, you
yes.
still have to pay.
Yes.
Like, for example, an overhead cost that I have to pay right now is the fuel to, you know, keep motivated, which is, in this case, Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
I need caffeine. I guess
not Mountain, an overhead cost.
I mean,
I need that caffeine to keep me running, you know?
Yeah, but like, if you don't have any prints to run, you don't have to keep running.
It's true.
I mean, I still do. I do the do when I'm not doing the
This
print.
Episode brought to you by
Mountain
Dew. Mountain
Dew.
We need to get sponsored.
We are.
It's a lifetime
This episode
supply.
Only.
So, the point is, figuring out whether your business is successful eventually becomes partly about looking at those overhead costs as well as what it costs to make each one of your widgets, right? For you, they're mm-hmm. models. So what does each model cost? And then what is my overhead? And am I paying for all my overhead and paying for the cost of the model and still hopefully having a little something left over? Mm-hmm. And that's a successful business. But again, being 13, you don't even really have to worry about overhead yet. Which is nice training wheels. Good question.
Until you do.
Until you do.
$100 of rent every month.
A 3D printer will pay for itself real quick.
That's a profit center for us as parents.
As parents. That's one of our profit centers.
It is.
That's actually mostly how they pay the rent.
Yeah, from our 3D printer, from our son.
Yeah.
From your 13-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The day that Gowan can pay the rent by building models is a good day for me and your dad.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just sarcastic about it.
So how about you? Any other questions from you?
I have one more question.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. He can send it while I think about it.
So.
Go ahead.
With my YouTube channel, there's one issue that I just can't shake. Like,
okay.
I have trouble staying motivated. So staying on getting the videos recorded, getting them edited, getting them uploaded.
Yep.
It's just so difficult to keep on task, get everything done, and still have time to do, to
kid
concern
stuff.
Myself with the world around me, with like doing chores, doing homework, everything. Mm-hmm. And it's just difficult.
Well, so one piece of that is, and this is not something that most of our listeners have the ability to avail themselves of, make use of summer break. Because the amount of time left in your life where you don't have to work, you don't have to pay bills, all you have to do is exist and do your thing that you love, there are only a finite number of those left for you. So make use of them. But the motivation part is hard. That is the hardest part about having your own business, is staying motivated. Like for me and your dad, getting up every day and coming to work, even on days when we don't necessarily have a thing we have to do first thing in the morning, it's not always an easy thing to do. It would be easy a lot of times to just stay home and play video games. But if you do that, then you don't pay the bills. Mm-hmm. Kind of like if you get sidetracked and do other things instead of creating your content,
you'll lose subscribers
and you won't succeed as a YouTube channel.
And like, especially part of it is that it's so rewarding to do a YouTube channel, because it's, I don't know how to explain it, but it is a very rewarding thing.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when I look back on my content and part of it's my voice. Like, I just...
So, looking back on things that you made, your art that you made a long time ago, is always a little bit discouraging. Because you look back at that art that you made when you were a beginner, and you can see all the flaws in it so clearly. All the things that you've now learned to be better at. But I think it's important that you don't let yourself get discouraged, because the fact that it looks so old and it looks so much less than what you're doing now is really a testament to how much you have grown.
Like, literally.
Literally. He's, like, taller than me now.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he's almost as tall as me.
Can't believe it. I used to carry you around.
I'm absolutely taller than you, Cadence.
He's taller than you.
Bet.
I used to carry you around like a little handbag, and now you're taller than me. How
handbag.
Fair is that?
It's a jetpack.
Handbag baby. Gowan handbag?
Yeah.
Hashtag handbag baby.
No, we already said Arcade Links is the jetpack.
Handbag, Cosmo handbag?
Because I think it's funny if you guys are Arcade Links, especially since you're both about to be taller than us.
But it's terrible.
So I think that you touched on two really interesting things. Mm-hmm. One of them is that when we look back at our old work that we've done, it looks junky, and then it's hard for us to feel motivated to continue, because we're like, well, if I am not even any good at this, then what's the point, right? But you have to recognize that your ability to see the weaknesses in that work, that's a testament to how much you have grown at doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the other part, though, the harder part, is how to stay motivated. And that's a tough one. How do you stay motivated?
Well, what motivates
you?
You
don't.
What motivates you?
That's the hardest part. I don't know.
So when you do sit down and create a video, what is it that drives you to do that?
I guess just like the reward of knowing that I'm a step closer to my dreams, to being better at what I'm doing, to have another video up, because another hard part is deadlines, because mm-hmm. I always set a deadline to myself to get a video up every Monday, but mm-hmm. it's just so hard to follow.
It's true. It's hard. That is the hardest part about business life.
Especially due to certain restrictions and...
You can make those restrictions go away. If you stay up till 4 in the morning on your computer, then you get restricted from computer time. If you use your computer a reasonable number of hours, then I don't have to restrict you because you take care of it for yourself.
Anyway. It's... And then, like, I'm trying to record a video or edit a video, and one of my friends messages me and is mm-hmm. like, hey, you want to play the such and such game? Mm-hmm. And
it's you got to manage your interruptions.
And part of
That's
me...
That's true.
Part of me just wants to, you know, ignore them, go away, I'm doing something, mm-hmm. I'm busy, and continue editing. But also there's a part of me that's like, no, I put in enough work. I think mm-hmm. I can take a break. I think I can spend some time and just screw around, but...
You gotta treat yourself, you know?
But then I just end up not coming back to it for, like, 2 weeks.
Yep, absolutely. So one question, so this is something we teach people all the time, is to we teach people to turn off their notifications. So can you... turn off the notifications in Steam? Can you set some kind of a do not disturb so that your friends can't message you?
In Steam, that's easy, but in Discord, mm-hmm. even if you, like, click the invisible button... Mm-hmm.
Just close out Discord, then.
Yeah. No, that's the worst part about Discord. It's always open.
I'm sure there's a way to kill that process if you need to.
Task manager, close disc, end task on Discord, mm-hmm. it'll pop up again. Mm-hmm. Like, it just is a background process.
We can sort out how to get Discord to be disabled, be do not disturb mode while you are recording videos. If that is the biggest challenge, we can get past that. I can help you.
Also, recording videos is the most fun part of that mm-hmm. process because you're in the game, mm-hmm. you're creating the video, you're
yep.
entertaining your audience, mm-hmm. aka the three people that watch my channel.
That was some sarcastic air quotes.
No, I get what he's getting at, but early on in a process like this, like a podcast, it's easy to feel like there's nobody paying attention. And it's hard to keep creating content when it doesn't feel like you're necessarily getting through to anyone.
And then, like, I get that done.
Yep.
And then I get on to the editing, mm-hmm. which is, like, it can sometimes be really fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just having a blast. I'm going along. I'm adding some music, some
yep. sound effects.
Cuts.
Yep.
And it's sometimes really fun, motivating, rewarding, and mm-hmm. I feel like I watch through and it's just come together. Mm-hmm. But then other times I just feel like I'm going through click, click, cut, click.
Well, so start paying attention to what's going on in the video when you're really enjoying it versus what's going on in the video when you are bored. Because something I realized early on while we were making these podcasts is there were some podcast topics that gave us a lot of room to kind of be silly and have fun with it, and then other topics that we had a tendency to just be really boring and just talk through the topic. And getting a feel for what the right topic is a lot of how we have been more successful at getting our podcasts made. Because your dad will say, what if we do one about this? And I'm like, nope, that's boring. That's a bad topic. And I will sometimes reject 7-8 topics in a row. And it's because it's important that it's the right topic.
What about the 5 safety documents that every safety person needs?
Right?
Exciting.
Snooze fest.
Watch for it.
So, in the same way, I know that you don't have topics for your videos, but what's going on in those videos mm-hmm. that makes them interesting or different or funny? Is it when you have your friends do guest spots? Is it When you're making up some story about what's going on in the game? Is it when you're changing settings and seeing different things on the screen? Try and make a mental list for yourself of what's going on in the videos you have fun with so that you can try to make more videos like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I kind of have a question.
Okay.
But it's kind of...
I kind of have an answer.
Tight. So, like, how do I justify spending the amount of time that I spend on my art? There are definitely going to be points in my life where I can't, like, spend 3 hours on a piece that I'm working on.
But sleeping, you can.
Yeah. So I think there are a few pieces here. So number one, you still got to do your chores. You still got to do whatever
homework you need to do.
And
I understand that sometimes those things come before artwork.
Because adults who are artists still have to pay their bills.
It's true.
Still have to manage their stuff. Often still have to go work at a job.
Absolutely. Right? Almost always have to go work at a job.
Yep. Like, I mean,
art doesn't pay the bills.
Most artists don't get to pay their bills with it.
Yeah.
But I think when you ask the question, how do you justify it? You're 16.
Yeah.
You should be spending free time doing things that you love. Because if you can't do that when you're 16, you aren't ever going to be able to do it.
Right.
There's plenty of time for you to have other responsibilities beyond, again, you still need to do your chores. You still need to do your work. But you have the time for art. And like your dad said, so when you come home and you take a nap on the couch, then that's a lovely way to spend an afternoon, but it's time that you're not spending doing your art.
Exactly.
So one of the things that I tell clients one of the things we'll get is, for example, I want to read more.
Yeah.
I'd like to read more, but I don't have time to read.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy to just say, well, make time to read, but we don't do that always as people.
Exactly. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Just read. It's simple.
Just read.
Just do it.
But the truth is, one of the tricks that can work is think about how you spend your time. Think about your life. And think about, what would I rather be doing? What is it that I would rather read than do?
Yeah.
And whatever that thing is, then make room for reading whenever you find yourself doing that.
Yeah.
I gotta get this plugged in. Yeah. So think about what is something in your day that you do and you wish you were doing art instead of doing that? See, that's a chore. You have to do that. You can't remove the dishes. But what about that afternoon nap?
Yeah,
would you rather be doing art than taking a nap?
And yeah, most of the time.
The answer might be no. But if it's that, if it's watching certain shows on TV or watching YouTube, or if it's scrolling endlessly through Instagram.
I don't do that as much as I used to.
Well, that's good, but you hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Think about all of those different things and think, just pick one and say, every time that I find myself scrolling through Instagram,
I'll go work on an art piece.
Then I will intentionally put that down and go work on my art instead.
Yeah, that's a smart idea.
And try doing that for a week. Try doing that for a period of time. And see if it means you get more of your art done.
Yeah, I think that is, like, pretty legit.
It's about being intentional. And again, I mean, it's if you choose to take naps, you choose to take naps.
Yeah.
But honestly, sleeping in the afternoon is one of the quickest ways to lose the time that you want to spend on productive
whatever
things.
Whatever I want to spend on, yeah.
Exactly. And again, on the other hand, it is true that you are 16 and your options for sleeping in the afternoon are few and far between as life goes on.
It's true.
But if you want to make art, then you got to make the time to make the art. That's
true.
Everything about being a creative person.
Yeah, for sure. You have to make time for whatever.
Another important thing I think there is you cannot wait for creativity to strike.
Yeah,
you have to
do that a bunch.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely a thing that I've taken from what you've told me, because like, if you just wait to feel inspired, then you'll never make art.
Yeah. And sometimes it means you pick it up and you make some drawing that you don't feel creatively inspired about and you don't like the drawing. But even just the act of doing that drawing might kick you back, and you start looking at it and you think, I hate this bird that I'm drawing. I wish I was drawing, what, Aziraphale and Crowley from Good Omens instead.
Oh, God.
Looking smart.
It's looking pretty good over there.
We can not post this. I was about to say we can post this on the website,
but
it's a little racy.
Oh, I think it's fine. But the point is that you can't wait for the moment when you feel inspired. Yeah. You have to... Stephen King said it's like a pump that water's going to come out of.
Yeah.
Like a rusty old pump. And you have to just start pumping it. And sometimes you have to pump it a lot before the water will come out.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what you have to do.
That's what you
got to
do.
That's what you
got to
do.
So, I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is again about Cosmo Corner.
Okay.
So,
Cosmo Corner being the YouTube channel.
YouTube channel, yes. So, a problem I have is finding the optimal length for videos.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not asking you, like, oh, what is the best length?
Well,
because that's an unanswerable question.
Well, a quick answer is 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is funny because...
17.
This is true because this is research I did about podcasts, and our podcasts are usually much longer than 20 minutes, so you are not talking to someone who sticks by that.
Mm-hmm.
But what there is research that says YouTube videos and podcasts, that 20 minutes is the ideal period of time, mm-hmm. and 20 minutes is the time after which the greatest number of people, if it goes beyond 20 minutes... the greatest number of people will click off and go away and do something else. That's when you lose people.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 minutes is a good objective answer, although I hear what you're saying, that there are a lot of ways to look at it.
So something hard is that when there's a creator that does it well, that's good at it, mm-hmm. like I can sit there and listen for like 2 hours.
Yes, but you don't want to make the assumption that that's how people are going to react to mm-hmm. your work. You want to, if it's 20 minutes and you cut them short and they want more and they don't get it, as an early stage creator, that's a good thing. Leaving people wanting more is always better than giving them more than they wanted.
And I'm not saying like, oh, so 2 hours is a good time.
No.
Obviously not. I have heard 20 minutes is good, and I've tried 20 minutes before,
mm-hmm.
but... often my friends complain about, oh, that's just too long to watch a single video.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people in my age group, like, of teenagers.
The, mm-hmm.
So attention span.
Attention span of a goldfish.
Attention spans mm-hmm. are getting shorter.
Exactly. Like, everyone in my age group has an attention span of, like, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I feel like I don't want to just restrict myself to 5-minute videos because...
you can't create the content you want to create.
Exactly. How do you fit that much content into 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear that. So, something you could do is run like a series, like a side, kind of not like a different channel, but you just have a series within your channel called like 5-Minute Adventures.
And actually, I was thinking about doing something like that, which was Minisode Mondays
mm-hmm.
before I decided... Monday was my uploading time,
yeah.
where like I would just upload like a quick 5-minute video.
Mm-hmm. So when you were making those, and decide for yourself how often you're going to make them, and when you're making those, limit yourself, edit yourself, see how much you can get in. So this is a little bit like for writers, flash fiction, which is like shorter than 1,000 words. It's super short. How can you get a lot of punch into that? And the thing about that is if you can get a lot of punch into a 5-minute video, it will make you stronger as a creator, even once you expand beyond that.
Because it'll give you a lot more punch in the mm-hmm. actual time span that you make a video.
So
yep.
How long are Henry's Kitchen videos?
Probably 5 minutes.
Probably 5 minutes, right?
5 to 10.
So what if instead of 5 minutes, they were 50 minutes?
That's
50.
I feel like that would just get a bit exhausting.
Lot.
Like on the same, like, what, scotch eggs or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's like the same episode. It would
like,
get really, really dry
yeah.
and boring, right? So if you challenge yourself to say, I'm going to do this in 5 minutes, and that's all I have. If it doesn't fit in 5 minutes, can't keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you don't necessarily, again, so I'm not a flash fiction writer. I write novels. But writing flash fiction made me a stronger novelist. So
mm-hmm.
in the same way, you don't have to always restrict all your content to 5 minutes. But if you can learn to create a series of 5-minute videos, then... you will become stronger as a creator. And then if you find that those 5-minute videos are getting way more views than your 20-minute videos, then that's objective information
mm-hmm.
you can use however you choose to.
I can use as I choose.
You can use as you choose. Oh, are we good?
I have one more question.
All right, I have one more answer.
Sicko mode. So I think like
sicko
my main question right now is like, how do you develop like a unique style or like a unique voice?
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of what you're trying to show and mm-hmm. convey with your art? Because like, I feel like you know a lot of this as like a writer,
mm-hmm.
that like, I look at a lot of other people's art, like on social media and mm-hmm. on Instagram, and like I follow a lot of artists, and mm-hmm. I feel like my style takes on a lot of their like kind of tone of voice,
mm-hmm.
and I have a really hard time distinguishing my art from theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I see all the stuff they do, and I'm like, hey, that looks good. I could do that here in my art, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that learning from other artists is a bad thing, but like, how do I take that and also still maintain my own personal style of art?
So the answer to this is not what you would expect, probably.
Yeah.
Copy. Copy off of everyone. Copy off of everything. Make work that is terribly, painfully derivative.
Yeah.
Because
like pretty much short of like actually tracing work.
Well, of course. But by you see a style, that style speaks to you, and then you start drawing in that style.
Yeah.
And then you move on to another style and you draw in that other style.
Yeah.
But you'll keep little pieces of every one of those styles that speak to you. And over time, the more that you do that, as you mimic other artists' style, you will start to see things emerge where you say, I really like this drawing that they did, but yeah. I really think they should have done this thing different.
Yeah.
This thing should be yeah. different than it is. And as you do that, what that really is that's your own voice starting to emerge.
Yeah.
This is a lot like the question about which art is good.
Yeah.
If you're looking at one piece of art, then it's really hard to tell if it's good or if it's not
yeah.
good. But if you're looking at 10 pieces, you can tell which ones are better. So in the same way, if you keep trying not to draw like anyone else and keep just trying to find your own style, then you will, it's like writer's block,
yeah.
right? It's like blank page syndrome. You will just struggle with that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just draw and draw and draw and you mimic anyone's style that you feel like,
yeah.
over time, you will start to see things with your own kind of artist's eye
yeah.
that should be different, that aren't right.
Yeah.
And that is your voice speaking up. And it will get louder and louder until the only way you want to draw it is the way that you see it, not the way that anyone else did.
Yeah, for sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So you find your voice, weirdly enough, by copying, not copying, but
yeah.
mimic the artists that you admire because you will learn from them.
Yeah, for sure. That's an interesting thing that I would not have thought of by myself.
And that is very true as a writer, that you will find you'll have phases where your work sounds just like it's copying on someone else that you admire.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to look at that and feel embarrassed about it. But then when you get to the point where your own voice does start to emerge, it's very interesting how you can see all
the
of those influences
yeah.
in it. You can see where,
there's
you know.
There's Heinlein, there's Stephen
right,
King.
Right, there's a little yeah. bit of Heinlein, there's a little bit of Stephen King.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Catherine Kerr.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman.
Oh, yeah.
Terry Pratchett.
This video is sponsored by Neil Gaiman. Thanks, Neil.
Cosmo Corner.
Yeah, that's what this video is sponsored by.
This video is sponsored by Cosmo Creations. Buy one today.
Cosmo
Commission.
Sorry.
So you're focused on creating. He's focused on commissioning.
It's true. That's fair. That's legitimate. You're like, where's the money?
I need that sick moolah.
Yeah,
can you hear this?
How else is he going to get Mountain Dew?
Exactly. You guys don't supply me.
It's not like we're supplying it. All right, is that everything?
I think so.
Is that everything?
That's all I got.
Well, I would like to thank you guys for inviting us on. I mean, it's not like you had much of a choice. We would have barged in if you didn't.
That's not true. You did not want to do this to start with.
Break down the doors.
This has motivated me a lot. I think I want to head home and start working on a video right away.
Awesome. Are you going to give Arcade a shout out in your video?
We'll see.
You're toxic.
The Venn diagram of Cosmo and Arcade customers.
That would be cool.
What's the name of his business?
Cosmo Commissions.
There you go.
You can find us at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com.
But wait,
you can find us on Twitter at Arcade Wayfinder.
Or
you can find us on LinkedIn at Jason Sturgeon and at Mary Sturgeon, and on our company page that we rarely post anything to.
You can contact my, or you can get to my YouTube channel. Can you provide a link?
I can provide a link in the show notes.
Because it's kind of hard to search.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just pronounce it.
Just, if you search it and you see something that looks like it's Cosmopolitan Magazine.
It's not it.
Don't click on it.
If you
turn
can
around,
find,
run.
You can find Cadence on C://
My Surface Pro.
/
Cadence should have a DeviantArt page, but she doesn't.
I don't. DeviantArt is for people in 2007.
And then you can contact Cosmo Commissions at 8cosmocorner8@gmail.com.
And I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
Cadence does have a website, right?
Nope.
No, you haven't made the Pen Chaser website yet? So
you can
we
find
should.
Me on Instagram at plantmom.exe. Don't bully me.
Don't execute. Don't do it. There's a virus.
There's a virus, yeah.
There's always a virus with that one.
And where can we find your business, Jason?
It is in FriendsterSmash.com. Friendster Smash.
You're
you should provide that link,
and
too.
What was the jetpack? The jetpack was, Arcadelings.
Arcadelings.
Jarrett, please don't.
So our little Arcadelings.
All right, we'll see you later, Jarrett.
And no, it's Jarrett
and Jarrett's.
Jarrett's and Jarrett's.
We want to make sure that this is a
inclusive.
Yeah, nope. Gender inclusive.
All right, see you later, Jarrett and
Jarrett's. Stay tuned for outtakes. I'm sure there will be some with
There's
these characters.
So
let's pause for a minute. All
right.
So this is not the Cadence Show. This is the Critical Path. I don't know if you know how this show works. Yeah, so you need to like pay attention and actually participate in meaningful ways, not just being a jerk, okay?
Yeah.
All right, back to it.
Put that in the bloopers.
I might.
Yelling at me?
Yeah, because you're managing your child like you manage your business.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true, you have to call things out in real time.
It's true.
You have to have the difficult conversations.
You don't want that conflict debt to build up.
It's true. So, Cadence, this will be on your performance appraisal. I'm sorry, but that's just the
you
way
don't
it
pay
goes.
Me anyways. It doesn't matter.
Oh, we do. We do.
Well, next time you want money to go out with your friends.
What friends? What friends? I left them all behind.
We're your friends now.
Oh, no.
Okay. So,